God, and we ask the Lord, come, Lord, we know that you made us to have an imagination. So will you release revelation to me? Because it's all about relationship with him. It's all the things that we see and the things that we hear. It's all about turning that back into a relationship with him. That includes the scripture. When you open up the word and you read something, you say, God, what does that mean? It's just an invitation to come before him and have a conversation because we want to know him. This is eternal life that we would know him, right? So anyway, these exercises, they were designed to help us grow in our spiritual senses. And I'll read to you Hebrews 5:14. You're probably familiar with it, but I'm going to back up to verse 11. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about Melchizedek. So he's saying, concerning him, Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's why it's okay to ask the Lord for a vision, because we can practice our senses because we want them to be trained to discern between good and evil. And if we don't practice, how do we learn? These exercises were designed to help us grow in faith, and the parable there that's mentioned, Mark 4:25, is a parable of the talents. That the more you invest, the more you get back. And there's also a principle of faith using Jeremiah 1:11. That's where the Lord says to Jeremiah, "What do you see?" And Jeremiah says, "I see an almond branch." And the Lord says, "Yes, you've seen correctly. This is what it means." That's our pattern. We want to ask the Lord. We can ask the Lord for a vision because we're practicing and exercising our senses to discern between good and evil. We can ask him for a vision. He shows us something. We say, Lord, I see this. What does it mean? And then the Lord will tell you if you've seen rightly, and he'll tell you what it means. So these exercises were designed to help us see what we're looking for, because you see what you're looking for. And that way you expand your revelatory horizons. And then I think his CDs are still available now, but his site is a pay site, so I wasn't able to get on. But anyway, if you're interested, I really want to give him honor and credit for developing this particular exercise, because he really helped us to grow so much. So what we're going to do the next few minutes is we're going to practice seeing, and we're going to see our beloved Jesus. And we know that he's here in the room and that he's ministering to us even as we're seated here. And we're going to ask, Father, show us Jesus and where he is in the room. And we're going to describe what we see. And then we're going to describe what he's doing. And we're going to describe what he's wearing. And we're going to ask him, why are you here? And how can I cooperate with what you're doing? What is your heart for the person that you're standing next to? And how can I have the same heart as you do for this person? Can you see how this would be a great tool in a treasure hunt? You're sitting in Starbucks. You ask the Lord, are you ministering to somebody here? I did it in the hospital cafeteria one afternoon, and I saw this gentleman who was sitting alone having lunch. And he was an older gentleman. He had a ball cap on. And I just saw Jesus stand behind him, and he was wrapping him in the American flag. I asked him, should I pray for him? And he said, no, it's okay. But when I walked by, I realized there was an insignia on his hat that was a military insignia. So there was something the Lord was doing that was really special with him, and he was honoring him in his patriotism. So sometimes the Lord will show you things, and you can act on it, and sometimes, you know, there are things you can just pray, and sometimes there are things to just honor him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this person that you're causing me to be aware of. So anyway, at Starbucks, you can say, hey, you know, I see you're drinking your coffee by yourself, and the Lord brought you to my attention. And you can go from there, and the next thing you know, they're coming to the barbecue, right? So anyway, let's just stand up, because I want to activate you in faith, because you are all here. You came here for something, and you didn't come here to hear us tell our testimonies so that you could just go home and go, wow, aren't those great people? The reason we're telling you testimonies is so that you can be encouraged, because the way Stephen sees and hears, you can see and hear. The way I see and hear, you can see and hear. But more important, the way you see and hear is the way God made you to see and hear. And so I just bless you. So if you just close your eyes and raise up your hands, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for activating my spiritual senses. Thank you, Lord, that I can see the bridegroom, that I can see you, Lord Jesus. I can see you high and lifted up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for activating me in your spiritual realm. Thank you for creating me to be a spiritual being. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a spiritual being having temporary time here on this earth where I'm not a natural being, just having a temporary spiritual moment. But I thank you, God, you've created me to be and live and move and have my being in your spiritual realm. So thank you for activating my spiritual senses. And Lord, we know you're operating in this room. We know that you're walking among us, because you say where two or more are gathered, there you are. And so we have confidence that you are here. And so Lord, I ask now that you would open eyes in the room now, and that you would release to everyone what you're doing. So now, Lord, thank you, and we just honor you, and we bless you, and we praise your holy name for what you're doing right now in our midst. So now just take a few minutes. You can look with your eyes closed or with your eyes open. I would encourage you to have your eyes open and ask the Lord what he's doing. Where are you in the room? And then you can describe what you see. Just think about what you're seeing. And pay attention to what he's wearing. He's not always wearing a robe and sandals. One time I saw him and he was a flamenco dancer, and he was dancing with a lady in the room, and she didn't know that he had a passionate, fiery dance of love for her. And so I got to pray for her, and she got to open her heart to him in a way that she didn't anticipate. So he could be wearing anything. He could be wearing fireman clothes. He could be wearing a robe and, you know, sandals. That's cool too. But he may speak to you by what he's wearing. And you can ask him, why are you here, Lord? What are you doing? How can I cooperate with what you're doing right now? What's your heart for the person you're standing next to? And how can I have that same heart as you do for this person? So we're going to do this for a little bit, and then we're going to go for it. We're going to do it. Thank you, Lord. So I'm sure that you're starting to see. So I thank you, Lord, for releasing visions in the room. We love you, God. We love your appearing. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Wherever you are at this point, we'll just talk a little bit about what we've been seeing. When I first came into the room today, in fact, even on the way here, I was saying, you know, Jesus, I want to see what you're doing. You can all sit down. Sorry. You can all sit down. Unless you have to stand up. And I saw, what I saw was the fire of God in this room. I know that we had talked a little bit about that while we were having dinner, but what I saw was the fire of God all around the room, but not in the center, just all along the room. And I thought, okay, that's cool. And then when we started to do the seer exercise, I saw Jesus walking in and out of the fire, just kind of making his way around the room. And I had the sense that he wanted to give that fire out. The only person I saw him give the fire to was to you. And I was reminded of Samson and the foxes who set that fire. I mean, he had the plan of what needed to be done to release that fire in that field. And I believe that that is a word that he is giving to you on how to do that. Because when we talk, I see that. Even last night when we were talking, I was seeing how he has a strategy that he releases through you. And so we just want to bless that strategy, and we just want to ignite it with more fire. And so we just say, Jesus, more fire. Yeah. Just let it consume him. Thank you, Jesus. Now,
I just wanted to ask, so how many of you saw Jesus in the room? Ah, see?
This is going to be a great class.
It is. See, now.
This is good.
That's great. And next time, everybody's going to see Jesus in the room. I promise. Because Holy Spirit promises. But the reason why we ask that is because I want to break off unbelief. And I didn't do that before we started. And it's not breaking off, whatever. It's just breaking the power of what unbelief can do. And so I'm sorry, I'm stumbling my words for some reason. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, I talked a little bit about how your imagination is next to your revelation place. And so sometimes, and we've been taught in especially our school system, that your imagination is worthless, and that it's meaningless. And you know, sometimes even your parents told you, you know, oh, you're just imagining things. But really, that scary dream that you had, there was a demon visiting your room, and it wasn't something that was in your imagination. You see what I'm saying? So that's just an example. I wasn't looking at anyone in particular. But anyway, for those of you who didn't see, I just bless all of you with that empowered imagination, which is revelation. And for all those times when you thought that was just my imagination, and then later you realize that it wasn't, I affirm you in the name of Jesus. So anyway, we will do this exercise again next week, but I just wanted to have show of hands to see who saw, and if there was anybody who's willing to share what they saw. Go ahead. Why don't you come up, if you don't mind? Okay, thank you. You can come up.
Yeah. I saw Jesus standing up next to you, and he was wearing a white robe with a belt, but it was cotton or wool, and I think it was like a practical piece of clothing. Like, he could have had jeans on, and I said, maybe. But the thought came to me, and it may have been Jesus speaking to me, you can't handle seeing me in jeans. So that's why I saw that. I really don't think I could. But it was very practical material. And he was like smiling, and he was really wanting us to hear what you had to say and wanting us to really receive and be able to do this. It was like, wow. You know, I never thought of
that's lovely.
Receiving something like that before in this kind of context. But what it helped me do is whenever I'm in a position of leadership or teaching, or it's like it can be that way. It's like, okay, well, Jesus really wants them to have it. And so that would help motivate me more too. So that's kind of what I could get out of it. So,
Thank you.
And I felt like he even had a desire to walk among us, like that would be the next thing he did. So,
okay, great. That's wonderful, Stephen. I saw Jesus standing next to you. Do you want to stand up? Can you shout your name?
Mel.
Mel? M-E-L. Mel. Well, what I saw is I saw him put a wreath on your head, and it was like a flowery wreath like you would get in the Renaissance. And I believe what he was saying is that there is a Renaissance coming. And you know what happened when the Renaissance came to the world is there was new art and there was new culture and there was, even the art changed. Remember how they were painting two-dimensional and then suddenly someone knew how to paint in a realism sort of manner. And the sculpting that came that was, it wasn't two-dimensional anymore. It was Michelangelo. And so I feel like he's creating a Renaissance in you. And I don't know what that looks like, but I just bless you with that. Plus, there's a fragrance to the flowers, and it's very pleasing, and you'll enjoy it. So, does anyone else want to share? Oh, go ahead. Oh, Stephen, I'm sorry. Yeah, come on up.
So, I know that you said if we saw it in the room, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this. So, before I got here, I don't know why the Lord had been opening my vision just the past couple of days, and he's been talking about this class. So I saw Jesus seated in the heavenly places. And so when I sat here, I saw the same vision. And he was wearing a robe, and his hair was a little flowy. And then I asked him the truth about it, because I've been doubting a lot about my seeing. So he said seated in heavenly places and to read Ephesians. So, yeah.
That's good. That's great. I think you were next. Come on up.
Yeah, I guess I just saw him actually wearing a T-shirt, and when Nancy said that, she couldn't imagine him wearing jeans, it sort of put a finger on what pants he was wearing. But just the T-shirt just said love on it. And standing towards the back of the room, just you're praying for someone. Don't feel comfortable saying who, but
okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So if you saw him doing that, I've got two mics going on. If you saw him doing that in Starbucks, you would just, to some guy who's sitting in the corner reading a book or something, if he told you, the Lord just pointed you out, is there something I can pray for you about, would you be willing to do that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? He shows us things so that we can have relationship with him and that we can participate with what he's doing. So does that make sense? So he shows us things. If you practice this in Walmart, say you're, shopping along, and then all of a sudden, you see somebody there, and you see Jesus, and he's doing something, maybe he wants you to pray for that person, or maybe he's caught your attention and that person's having trouble with his knee or something, and you want to pray for healing. So anybody else want to share? Oh, Pam and James, of course. We know Pam and James from a long time.
I actually saw Jesus under the tallit.
Oh.
And he had a tallit over his head. And I asked him, where are you? And he goes, I'm under the tallit. And in that, I also saw him with one foot in Israel and one foot in America. And part of his foot is here in Ashburn. And he had a fire in his heart. And he said, I established Israel, but I also established America, and my heart's in both. And I've got a fire for both nations. But this church is going to ignite with that fire.
That's good. Stephen, don't go.
So I just want to encourage everybody, because I've lost count of the number of years that I've been teaching people how to walk in the prophetic. And my strength is verbally. Closing your eyes, hearing the voice of God, and then giving people learning them how to hear the voice of God, and one of the foundational scriptures that I always bring up whenever I start this class off, because I know what some of you heard when she said everybody in this room will be able to see.
Yes, amen.
And I heard the unbelief.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's okay. It's not a condemnation, or that's a, because we second guess ourselves. And what I saw Jesus doing was walking around the room and walking up to people and whispering in their ear, yes, you can. Okay. And so I take everybody, and you just for your notes, you don't have to, but I'm going to read it to you. It's 1 Samuel 19. And Saul's trying to kill David. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And hold on. So Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing and appointed over them, the Spirit was upon the messengers, and they began to prophesy. And so Saul sent more messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And then finally, getting down to verse 22, so Saul himself went to Ramah, and when he got to Noath at Ramah, and he went into Noath at Ramah, and the Spirit of God fell upon Saul. And he prophesied until Noath and Ramah, and he stripped off all of his clothes, and he prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and laid down naked all day and all night.
He must have seen something.
And wherefore, it is said, is Saul also among the prophets? And so one of the things that I tell people that Paul says later in the New Testament, I desire to be with you that I may lay hands on you and impart gifts. And so one of the things that I can say very boldly is if I give you a class on how to prophesy, I did this at Mount Vernon actually, I guarantee you at the end of the class you will be able to prophesy. And that's not arrogance, it's because I know that what my mantle carries, if you stand next to me, the anointing on my life will bring about the activation and the maturation of that gift. And I want to affirm these two, that that's what they're walking in. If you will, rather than making excuses, I don't think that way, I don't work that way, I'm a logical person, I'm not creative, I don't have a big imagination, this stuff scares me, no matter where you're at, no matter how long you've been saved, if you will come along and stand close enough to get to the fire to catch on fire, I guarantee you, by faith, you will be able to grasp and you will see. And then once you have seen what Hebrews says, practice by reason of use, having your senses exercised so that you may be able to discern. And so rather than being scared of something, it's something that the more you do it and the more you practice it, the better you get until the supernatural life becomes your natural life. Where every day you wake up, you do what you see Jesus doing, you say what you hear the Holy Spirit saying, and it's not freaky and it's not weird, and seeing Jesus hug somebody in Starbucks isn't the exception to the rule. It is the rule. It is the way you walk and live and breathe. Does that make sense? And that's what we're trying to do. And so I encourage you to come to every class and not only practice these exercises in the class, because I guarantee you we're going to do this again when we're worshiping. And as I've said to you in other prophetic classes, it will never get easier to see Jesus than when you're in the anointing of worship. Okay? And so you will have an amazing opportunity for the next couple of weeks. In fact, why don't the worship team make their way up there and start setting up? But having said that, once you leave here, I want you to practice. I want you, next time you're at work or at Starbucks or at the grocery store, go, okay, Jesus, where you at? The first time I asked Jesus, I was obedient. I said, okay, show me. And he showed me his face and his body, and he looked like the Jesus we grew up with from the Jesus People movement. You know, and I'm like, well, I know it's not really you, right? Exactly. A lot of Frisbee looking Jesus. Yeah, exactly. And so then I see him in jeans, and I go, okay, I know that's not the way you looked like when you walked the earth. He goes, okay. And then I saw him in his rabbinical gear. And I thought, thank you. Thank you for showing me that. So, if you have anything else to say, I'm going to let you say it, or I'm also going to open up for questions and answers. Does anybody have any questions about anything that has been spoken or taught or anything that you had an experience with or it didn't happen for you? Please ask, because this is the time to ask. I know when it's like saying, I heard from God, and sometimes it's just a sense of revelation. So when we say see, it really means perceive. So what I tell people is anything that you see, sense, or feel that comes from God. Does that make sense? For some people, it's a picture in their head. For some people, it's a literal three-dimensional object out there, like a hallucination. We call that an open vision. So does anybody have any questions about anything? Yes. Okay.
Just to go along with what both of you have been saying, when you said that you want to break off unbelief or doubt, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share. Like a year ago, I had an issue when I was at a meeting. They did an activation, and I was the only one, that raised their hand that was frustrated because I couldn't see anything. But I realized that I needed to break a vow that I had spoken out loud that, oh, I cannot see.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and the Lord started showing me I had to renounce that, and I began to see. So
that's awesome. Well, next week we will talk about foundational scriptures. I felt like we needed to really touch our toe into the seeing Jesus waters this week. But we'll talk about we'll look a little more in depth into the scriptures that show us that it's okay to see. And the one thing that came to mind when Tim was talking is the scripture where it's Elijah and his servant. And, Elijah says, there are more for us than those who are against us. Do you remember the scripture? It's in 1 Samuel 19, I believe. And he takes the servant's hand, and then the servant can see. You see, when you're in a prophetic group, this is a prophetic gathering. So there's a mantle of revelatory gifting that's in this room. So when you come into this room, you are sharing an anointing with what Tim carries, and everybody else in the room is carrying this. Like Pam has this incredible anointing that is in the room. And so you can come and say, I'm expecting to see because I'm in a prophetic gathering. And so I may just, I may be an infant when it comes to those kinds of gifts, but I'm going to do that because I know that that gift of prophecy is going to build up the church, and it's going to, more important, increase my relationship with the Lord.
And so, in line with what you said, that's what we're going to do here at the Lighthouse. We, after the teaching, we go into our time of worship and we ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And so, we're going to have a time of praying for people. Oh yes. We'll have a time of praying for you people. We'll get Pam, myself, and the Levines up here. We'll be laying hands and agreeing with you and doing some one-on-one coaching with you. If you come up and say, I didn't see anything, and Marianne will pray for you and help you, and you can walk up and touch the hand of the prophet, and the heavens will open, and
yep.
You will see the...
And then you can see Mal with a beautiful wreath on her head.
And so, but, I love what she said, because in charismatic circles, sometimes you get people that come to seek the gifts. They're not seeking the giver. They're seeking the show. And you need to let everything that you do be, because it will increase your intimacy with Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
That you will learn to walk side by side Him. Amen?
Yes.
So Steve, yeah, go ahead.
Because it's a class, the one thing we know to expect is that there will be homework. Okay. And we'll talk about the homework next week. The homework is to go to some place other than your house or where you work, where there are other people that you don't know. Well, they can be people that you know. It can be a church gathering. It could be whatever. And to ask Jesus the what we just did. What are you doing? What are you wearing? How are you ministering? And then participate with Him and see what God will do. We had done the class, I don't know, a half a dozen times, and one of the gals decided that she was going to take us up on that. That evening, she went to a church service. She saw Jesus put His hand on the back of someone's head. She went over there to participate, and healing came out of that. So stay open to what He's doing and just participate. And that's the homework, and we'll talk about that next week.
All right. So today we talked about why we're doing a seer class. Our foundational scripture is John 5:19 through 20. It's on your notes. You can soak in that this week. We all have our homework, which is we're going to go somewhere. Starbucks or whatever, and we're simply going to do what we did just now, which is ask to see Jesus, ask what He's doing in the room, and ask if He wants us to do anything to respond. We're going to go ahead and enter into our time of worship now, and one of the amazing things I love about this church is that the abiding presence of God shows up because the people are expecting. So let's expect to feel God in this room. And once the Holy Spirit has made it nice and thick and the flames are stoked, we'll ask Him what He wants to do, and then we'll open up the prayer time. Amen?
Amen.
All yours, Eric.